This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Detroit and deterrence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, car officials are preparing for the future, if there is one, and health officials are preparing for the worst. It's the morning open. We're 21 minutes into the trading day. We'll get analysis and check the numbers in just a moment. First, President Barack Obama told a group of scientists just a moment ago that his administration is keeping a close eye on swine flu.
We are closely monitoring the emerging cases of swine flu in the United States. And this is obviously a cause for concern and requires a heightened state of alert. But it's not a cause for alarm.
The president said he'll continue to update the American people on what Washington is doing in the wake of what could become a worldwide pandemic. Obviously, swine flu is poised to infect a global economy that's already pretty sick. And the virus is already having a huge impact on travel. A lot of it centered on Mexico and North America. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Richard Besser, the acting director of the CDC, said this morning the U.S. is now screening for signs of swine flu at the Mexican border.
Given the reports out of Mexico, I would expect that over time we're going to see more severe disease in this country.
Europe's health commissioner urged Europeans to avoid traveling to the United States or Mexico. Richard Abulafia is an airline analyst at the Teal Group.
This would be a blow to traffic at a time when the industry can least afford it because of the economic downturn.
At least half a dozen airlines, including American, United, and Continental, are waiving penalties for changing flights to or from Mexico. In Asia, passengers arriving from North America can expect to have their temperature taken before clearing customs. And Russia, Taiwan, and China are preparing to quarantine anyone with flu-like symptoms.
So they're going to be very, very careful.
Andy Rothman is a China strategist. He says after struggling to deal with the SARS epidemic a few years ago, the Chinese government isn't taking any chances. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
All right, Sam Stovall, chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research, joins us this morning on the line from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Obviously, this isn't just a health issue, as Steve Henn just reported. We're talking travel and trade and all kinds of alerts. What are the broader economic repercussions of all this?
Well, certainly, if it does end up just being a very short-term situation, there's really not much of a repercussion at all, not much of a fallout. But if it is something that lasts a while that causes consumers to stay at home, well, certainly that would have an impact. Just think about everything that you do during the day in terms of using your car, gasoline, going out and purchasing food, leisure products, et cetera, or even traveling, whether it's on business or for pleasure. So there could definitely be very much of a ripple effect through the energy, the consumer, and other areas of the marketplace.
Yeah, we're going to talk about cars, like you just mentioned as well. And obviously, this has done a number on the numbers. Where's Wall Street this morning? The Dow is down 53 points, about 0.6%. NASDAQ down about 0.2%. S&P 500 down about 0.75%. European shares down across the board. Asian markets closed mostly lower. You know, Sam Stovall, the other big story this morning, as I mentioned, is cars. And GM says it's cutting 21,000 jobs and getting rid of Pontiac. Is that going to be enough?
Well, I think certainly a lot of investors believe that either Chrysler or GM or both will end up having to file for bankruptcy before things are all said and done. Certainly when 60% of the revenues come from Chevrolet and only about 9% from Pontiac, I think that shuttering one division like that that's less than 10% is not going to be that big of an impact
sure
on
enough.
The company.
All right, Sam Stovall, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate it. More on the cars and big news from Chrysler coming up. Listening to The Morning Report on Monday, April 27th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Well, as governments around the world are working to find and contain the pockets of swine flu, fears for the outbreak are bringing down markets, and a couple of big pharmaceutical companies are getting a big boost from the news. From London, Christopher Worth has more.
Shares in Switzerland's leading drug maker, Roche, are up nearly 4% this morning. The company says it's scaling up production of Tamiflu. The drug's been shown to be an effective vaccine against the virus. In the UK, GlaxoSmithKline, which manufactures its own vaccine against deadly flu viruses, is also gaining in the markets. Glaxo's drug is called Relenza. Both drug makers have been approached by the World Health Organization about their readiness to deploy stocks in the case of a pandemic. Roche says it stands ready with 3 million treatments, but warned further production could take up to 8 months. Commercial impact for the drug makers could be muted, as many countries have already developed stockpiles from earlier threats of avian flu. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
You know, we've all heard the stories of the economic fallout prompting people to head back to school. At the same time, states are slashing their education budgets. Nowhere are those two realities colliding harder than at America's largest institution of higher learning. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Miami-Dade College has absorbed as many new students in the past 2 years as the total student population of the University of Miami. State funding has not kept pace.
Right now, have the equivalent of 15,000 students for which we're not getting a penny from the state.
That's Eduardo Padron, president of Miami-Dade College. He's had to cancel class sections, cut student services, and postpone needed repairs. But there's one thing he's unwilling to do. With a third of his students living in poverty, he won't jack up tuition.
Every time we raise tuition by $1 is the difference between putting food on the table and going to school.
With a total college enrollment of 170,000 students, the 8 campuses are bursting at the seams. Christian Moreno is student government president at the Kendall campus. It takes him 30 minutes to find parking before class. Students can wait up to 4 hours to see an advisor. Students with campus jobs now face layoffs.
Last year, they gave everybody in the school an agenda. It was a simple agenda, but it was tailored specifically for our campus. And now, this year, it was a very limited supply, first come, first serve. There wasn't enough for everybody.
Community colleges around the country, from North Carolina to Maine to Washington State, face a similar situation. Inadequate funding, skyrocketing enrollment. Alan Berube is with the Brookings Institution. He says the federal stimulus sets aside a few billion for higher ed, but it won't be enough to save community colleges.
They have the infrastructure to educate a population of, say, 20,000 students, and they're trying to cram 40,000 students into that same space. There's got to be a breaking point somewhere.
Padron says that breaking point has arrived. Miami-Dade may soon have to break its unwritten contract with the community, never to turn anyone away.
This is the workforce of the future. And if we fail to train them, who's going to pay Social Security taxes so all of us can retire? Who's going to provide the well-trained labor force to be competitive with China and India and Europe? Who's going to lead this nation?
Padron is now pushing for a halfpenny tax in the county so he can start building more classrooms. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
President Obama hosts a meeting in Washington today that could set the stage for how governments tackle global warming. At the same time, House lawmakers may have a new version of a climate change bill this week. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports.
American power producers have a message. It goes like this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
utilities are worried about the expense of a proposed cap and trade system. The system would require utilities to buy rights to pollute. Mark Crisson of the American Public Power Association has another idea.
In the initial years of the program in particular, give away for free the allowances necessary to allow power plant operation.
Now, House Democrats are considering giving away 40% of the permits. Environmental economist Robert Stavins of Harvard says there's room for that.
There is, in my mind, a sound argument for targeting the freely allocated allowances to the most burdened sectors of the economy.
Those include regions dependent on coal and utilities serving low-income populations. But free permits mean the government makes less money. Money that's supposed to fund alternatives to fossil fuels. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Next week, Sotheby's and Christie's hold their May Impressionist and Modern sales. See, it's spring auction season now in the art world, and the recession has hit the art market hard. Both auction houses have laid off staff around the world to cut costs. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
In the lobby at Christie's in Manhattan, Guy Bennett shows me an early 20th century Matisse. It's never come to auction before, and it could be a bit of a bargain.
We'll see what it makes on May 6, but I think $2 to $3 million absolutely recognizes the market we're working in today.
Bennett is co-head of Christie's Impressionist and Modern Department. He says next week's evening sale is expected to bring in around $95 million.
This time last year, approximately the pre-sale estimate was around $180 million. So we're looking at about a 50% reduction in terms of value we're offering.
That's partly because Christie's isn't selling as many blockbuster pieces this season. Art consultant Joan Whalen says collectors are reluctant to part with important works in a depressed market.
Unless someone absolutely has to sell, you're not going to see major pieces at auction. They're going to get nothing.
Whalen says her own business selling art is down 50% this year. She may have to change careers. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Chrysler faces a Thursday government deadline to either restructure with a partner, Fiat, or file for bankruptcy. But the automaker has cleared a couple of big hurdles. It reached a concession agreement over the weekend with UAW and one ratification of its cost-cutting deal with Canadian auto workers. So that leaves Chrysler negotiating with creditors.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us right now. Alan, what are all the parties trying to do in this final week?
Well, what we're facing is a game that they play in bankruptcy courts all the time. It's called chicken. Do you know the game of chicken?
I know it well.
Right. Well, some of our audience may be more cultured than you and I are, so I think I ought to explain it, which is somebody, say, Steve, gets in a car and drives toward me. I get in my car, I drive towards him, and the question is, which one of us chickens out and goes in the ditch before we hit?
Yeah, I don't like the scenario at all, Alan.
No, I don't like it either, especially since I'd probably chicken out right at the beginning. But bankruptcy people are professional chicken players. So what you've seen is a lot of chest pounding and carrying on, both in the Chrysler negotiations, which pits the Treasury against the creditors of Chrysler, and also in the second set of negotiations, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in a few weeks, which is the General Motors thing, where the same game is going on. And GM actually now has a real deadline because they've said, we are not going to make a bond payment that's due at the beginning of June. And that starts the clock ticking, where anybody who owns these bonds and doesn't get paid could pretty much put General Motors into bankruptcy. So that's going to have to get settled.
And so what happens in the end here?
Well, I suspect at the end what happens is that there may be a company called Chrysler, but it won't be owned by the United States, and many of its plants in the United States will close. Ford is cutting and cutting and cutting and may scrape by, I hope it does, and make it without any government help. And GM, it's a really ugly situation. And you could see where, again, a whole lot of GM facilities are going to close. They're going to employ a lot fewer people. They're going to do a lot less borrowing. The only question is whether this happens as part of a bankruptcy or some reorganization outside of bankruptcy court, which matters to a whole lot of people. But for purposes of our conversation, it doesn't matter if you're looking at what happens to the companies.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dow is down 0.4% at this hour, the latest at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.